Book of Jonah, chapter number 2. Appreciate again the privilege to pray, assemble together. Appreciate again you being here. Certainly desire your prayers tonight. Realize can't do anything without the Lord. Certainly need His help tonight. And probably won't keep you very long. Don't feel as though I have a lot of content, but just a few simple thoughts on my heart tonight out of this familiar story that we teach our children about Jonah and the whale. And I want to read, of course, we all understand what has taken place in chapter number 1 about the call of God to Jonah. The Bible says that he was told in verse number 2 of chapter 1 to arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. We all know Jonah's response to the call of God. He ran, got in a boat, and fled in the opposite direction. The Lord sent a storm and prepared a great fish in verse 17, the last verse of chapter 1. And it swallowed Jonah, and he was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. We'll pick up reading in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. The Bible said, "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and He heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and Thou heardest my voice. For Thou hadst cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All Thy billows and Thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of Thy sight. Yet I will look again toward Thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast Thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto Thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land." I thought about these verses, what the Bible records here. I read again what Jonah said as we read tonight. And I don't know that any person could get in any lower place than Jonah found himself. He said, "I'd be cast into the deep." He referred to it in verse number 2 as the belly of hell. He talked about being compassed about with the waters, even his soul. Sounds to me like a dark place to be. He said the depth closed me round about. And naturally, Jonah is talking about natural things, being in the belly of this whale in the bottom of the ocean. But more than natural circumstances, Jonah is realizing his rebellion against God and how it's brought him to the bottom. He said in verse number 6 is really where I'm interested and want to take my thought from. He said, "I went down to the bottoms of the mountains." He said, "I went to the lowest place that I've ever been." And so the Lord began to speak to my heart. And I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on when you hit the bottom. I thought how many of us have failed at one time or another in our Christian journey that we've hit the bottom. Many circumstances, many reasons for the child of God to be in that shape. It could be as Jonah was, and many times it is so, that sin brought us to the bottom. It was in Jonah's case. The whole reason that he's here is recorded for us in verse chapter number 1, that the word came to Jonah. The will of God was revealed to Jonah, and he directly defied the will and the wishes of God and rebelled against him. He went in the opposite direction. He went toward a land by the name of Tarshish, which not much in the Word of God is said about it. Matter of fact, not much when you try to study out this land, not much is known about it. The biggest thing about Tarshish, the couple of things that I could read and understand or find out, was Tarshish was a land that was known for its plenty. It was a land of excess. It talked about gold, and it talked about apes and peacocks being in the land of Tarshish. And so it was a place, if you'd have it tonight, that the grass looked greener on the other side. Many times in our Christian life, the Word of God comes to us, the will of God, a request from God, and we rebel against it. For whatever reason it is, for whatever reason, for Jonah, he despised this city. He didn't like the people. They were wicked people. And so he didn't feel as though they deserved the word from God. But it was God's will for Jonah's life. All of us. I remember an old preacher preaching. I wasn't there in person, but I heard it by way of cassette tape that many years ago. On where is your Nineveh? Every child of God has a Nineveh, where God desires for us to be. But many of us settle for something less than our Nineveh because the Tarshish looks like more to us. The biggest thing to find out about Tarshish was it was the farthest known distance to the Hebrew people at that time. And so what the Bible was trying to tell us is that Jonah went or intended to go as far from God as he could go. But I'm glad that not every ship makes it to Tarshish. I'm glad if we would examine our own lives, there have been days in our life of rebellion. There have been days when we did not want to do what God wanted us to do. And so in our own spiritual life, we boarded a ship and tried to go as far as we could go. But thank God, God put a roadblock in the way and didn't let us go as far as we wanted to go. And the storm came because of Jonah's sin. He finds himself at the bottom. I don't know about your heart tonight. I know I'm satisfied within myself that somebody's here tonight and you feel like you're on the bottom. And it may be sin that's brought you to that place, but it may not be. Just because we're at the bottom, I felt that this is where God wanted me to take my text. There are other places that we could have took a text from. But we must understand that sometimes it may be our own doing that puts us at the bottom. But I will say this, if it's your doing that's put you there, it will not be a question in your mind. You won't have to search it out or ask God to show you. You will know it was your doing that put you there. Jonah had no question. He went down to the bottom of the ship and went to sleep, and the storm come, and he was there asleep, and the men on top have no idea what's going on, but they went down there and got him and asked him to come up and pray to his God, and Jonah said, it's my fault. There was no time. Jonah didn't have to pray and ask God to show him his wrong. Jonah knew he had done wrong. And he knew the reason the storm came was because of his rebellion. And so now Jonah knows. He told him to throw him overboard. He did. The Lord prepared that great fish. It swallowed him. And now Jonah knows why he is where he is. And if you're at the bottom tonight, based upon your own doing, then you will know why it is that you are where you are. But then there are times that we're at the bottom because of nothing that we did. Many people would have you to believe that in this Christian life, that if you're at the bottom, it must be something that you did yourself. But there are times when the storms of life will rock us to the bottom. May not be any sin in your life. I thought about that word storm and I looked it up. And I know this is simple and elementary, but I wanted, felt like it's something in me said I had to look it up. So I got down the old 1828 dictionary. And of course we all understand storms in nature about, you know, lightning and rain and hail and all those things and wind. But there's a spiritual meaning to a storm. And that meaning in the old dictionary said a disturbance in the peace of the heart. It meant an affliction or a time of great distress. I'm going to tell you, when you enter a storm, sometimes that storm will take you to the bottom. I thought about, and I know it hadn't been that long ago that I preached about him, or we took a text and looked at old Gideon up there at the wine press. But the storm in Gideon's life, I understand that the people of God had rebelled against God. I understand that there was sin in the camp. But it seems to me like even though there was sin in the camp, that Gideon was trying to do the best he could with what he had, but yet he still found himself at the bottom. The Bible said that the Amalekites and the Midianites came in and they destroyed the increase and they were greatly impoverished because of them. They were in spiritual bankruptcy. There's more to it than just material possessions. But it meant that their spirits were brought low because of the Midianites. Can you imagine? Put yourself, sometimes we read the Scriptures and we fail to put ourselves in their shoes. Can you imagine laboring in a harvest, putting all your sweat and your effort into it, and you knowing that in that day there's no grocery store to go to buy the food? What you had was what you raised, and putting all your effort and all your labor into all the harvest, and the moment it got ready, it was taken away. How disturbed would you be? How discouraged would you be? How distressed would you find yourself? How much would you feel like you had been afflicted? It wasn't just them, it was their families. There was no way to feed their families. There was no way to feed the livestock. There was no way to keep anybody alive. And so they got so low that the Bible said they went digging in the caves and the sides of the mountain and made them holes in the mountainside to hide in from the enemy. You may be here tonight and you may be in or just come through the greatest storm of your life and you feel like that it's brought you to the bottom. You need to be aware tonight that you're not the only one that has ever found themselves in that place. You need to be aware tonight, and I don't know, I'm not trying to cast any stones, but there's a crowd out there that would have you to believe that if you're in the will of God, nothing bad will ever happen to you. But that's contrary to the Word of God. They're suffering forever. The Bible said, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There are going to be storms. Paul was one of the greatest preachers that ever walked the face of the earth. And he encountered storms that brought him to the bottom. And so know that it may not be something you've done. Many days, look back in my life and going through things, I blame myself for things that were nothing. I'm not saying I'm perfect, and I'm not saying that you're perfect, but you'll never get anywhere. You'll just go farther and farther down if you try to blame yourself. But now if you've done something, you need to repent and get it right with God. But if there's no evident thing in your life, you ought to seek the help of God and understand you didn't do anything to put yourself in this position. Just came. Storms come. One writer of the song said there are storms that we all encounter. All of us will encounter a storm, some disturbance within ourselves, some distress, or some affliction that we have. And it may bring you to the bottom. Then I thought about maybe not sin, maybe not a storm, but sometimes just our very surroundings and the circumstances that we find ourselves in as the people of God. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And if we're not careful, we'll get so wrapped up in all our circumstances and all our surroundings. And I understand that sometimes the things of the world, we can relate to it here recently, the things that are going on in the world directly affect the people of God. Thought about the widow at Zarephath. It was Ahab's wicked sin that caused the famine. It was Ahab's wicked sin that caused the drought. She's just a little old widow woman. We don't even know her name. With a little old boy over there, her only son. And she's just doing the best she can. She didn't cause anything to make the famine come or to make the drought come. But she's having to live among the circumstances that it's caused. And it's brought her to the bottom. She's literally, the kids at school sing a song, she's literally at the bottom of the barrel. She's got a handful of meal and a little oil in a cruise, and she has done made it up in her mind. She has done come to grips with the fact that she's going to eat it and her son's going to eat it and they're going to die. Sounds like the bottom to me. So you may be here tonight, and the circumstances of the world. And I know, and I'm not trying to point anybody out, and I'm not going to name any names or anything like that. I'm just preaching how the Lord puts it on my heart. But I know some of you, as was mentioned tonight, it mentioned children. And some of them are not necessarily in sin. But maybe their occupation, maybe something they have to do, maybe where they are, has put you in a tailspin. And it feels like the world is closed in on you. Some of you have grandchildren that you're worried about in the circumstances. It's not that you've done anything wrong. It's not that you're making their choices for them. But you're being directly affected. And it's bringing you to the bottom. No matter what the reason is, sin, a storm, or just your surroundings. In all of these and more, there are many people we could mention in the Word of God that got to the bottom. What about Elijah in the cave? I mean, he had just the chapter previous called down fire from heaven. And the very next chapter, he's hiding out in a cave at the bottom. Went directly from the mountain to the lowest bottom asking God to kill him. I'm going to tell you something about our human nature that if you're not careful will make you discouraged. But you better understand it is how quickly we can go from the mountain to the bottom. You can be on the mountaintop right now in the service. I've experienced it for myself. I've been in camp meeting and other services, but I've experienced it. It seems like more in camp meeting. And get up to preach them, call on me to preach, and the power of God move, and the Holy Ghost touch me. And by the time I get to the hotel room, I'm on the bottom. It's amazing how that works. Others. I thought about Jeremiah He pretty much, if you want to be honest about it, in his ministry, he pretty much lived on the bottom all the time. Nobody ever, when he got the call from God, God said, I want you to preach. They're not going to listen, but I want you to preach anyway. There came a day when they despised Jeremiah and they put him in the dungeon and let him down in the muck and the mire. And the Bible said he sunk up in it. There was no water there. The only way they could get him out was to let down some ropes and some old rags and pull him up out of there. You talk about being at the bottom. Forgotten. Nobody liked him. Nobody cared about him. It seemed to Jeremiah that everybody had forsaken him, and at times God had forsaken him. Thought about Joseph. If you really want to think about it for lack, and I'm just trying to preach and just give you my heart tonight. If you want to think about it, for lack of a better word, Joseph's life is like a roller coaster, up and down and up and down, from mountain to valley and nowhere in between. One day he's getting visions and dreams from God, and the next day his brother's selling into slavery and lie to his father that he had been killed. And the next day he gets bought out of slavery and is put over all that Potiphar has in his house. And the next day he's getting lied on and thrown into prison. And somebody said they'd remember Joseph, and they forgot him. You talk about being on the bottom. But in every situation, for every child of God who finds themselves at the bottom, God never leaves them there. God always intervenes. God always shows up. And it may not be in the way that they think it ought to be. I thought the first one that came to my mind was Elijah there in the cave when the fire came. And he thought, surely God's in the fire. He was just a little while ago, but God wasn't in the fire. And then the earthquake. And he thought, surely God's in the earthquake, but he wasn't in the earthquake. And the mighty wind, but God wasn't in the wind, but a still, small voice. And it was so for Jonah too. I'm glad when we sin and do wrong and it brings us to the bottom. I'm glad God is not content to leave us there. Oh, He might let us roll around and where we found ourselves. It does say that Jonah was there for 3 days and 3 nights. And it might have took that long. It reads to me like it took that long for Jonah's pride to be squashed and for him to cry out to God. But when he did, the voice of God came. That's what the Bible said. And the Lord spake in verse number 10. And the fish spit him out on dry land. You talk about a sudden move from the bottom to back to land again. All because God don't leave us at the bottom. Oh, it may be His will for us to stay there a while. And it may be our own flesh that may keep us there for a while. But if you desire to get up off the bottom, God won't leave you there. His voice. Thought about for the widow. She had a visitor. Down the road come the man of God with just the message she needed to hear. And I'm going to tell you something in these days, and it's hard sometimes as a pastor to preach about the preacher, but I feel like I need to say something here. I know I'm flesh, and I get it wrong a lot. I know I do. And I'm not the pastor that you deserve, nor the one I want to be. But I sure am glad there have been some days that the message I had was from heaven and there was no doubt in my heart about it. And I'm glad for some times, but not because of who I am, but because of who He is and because He cares about you. The word will come from the man of God and it gets you off the bottom. That's what it did for her. She said, we're dying. She said, I wish you to come. I mean, I'm just paraphrasing it in our language, you know. He said, I want something to drink. And she went to get it. He said, why are you going? Bring me a piece of bread. And she said, I don't have anything. I wish you to come earlier. I'm at the bottom. We're going to die. But the man of God had the message. And he said, fear not. The Lord said, He'll take care of it all. And I'm telling you tonight, some of you that's got family that you're worried about, some of you that's got problems you can't handle, some of you that are in the greatest storm and the circumstances of this life are beating against you, God said to tell you, He's got it handled. Yes. Just trust Him tonight. And old Gideon, boy, he was at the bottom, not just physically and spiritually, but mentally as well. We talked about it not long ago. He got to critiquing himself. He said, I can't do any good. Nothing good's going to happen. I can't lead Israel out. I can't defeat the armies. I'm just one man. And he said, besides that, I don't have any money. I don't have any notoriety. I'm the least in my father's house, of the least of the tribes of the children of Israel. What good can I do? But the Lord said, the Lord is with thee. And with 300 men that defied all the odds and all the logic and all the reason of mankind, matter of fact, if you read the story, they went with pitchers and they went with lamps and with horns. And they broke the pitchers and they shone the lamps and they blew the horn and they cried the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, and all the enemy turned on theirself. You say, what happened? God intervened and brought victory even at the bottom. Now, I'm telling you, wherever you are in your life, whatever you're going through, whoever you are, you may find yourself at the bottom tonight. But the Lord has come by this way. He's paid you a visit. See, it wasn't just in the widow's case. It wasn't just that the man of God paid her a visit. It's not enough just for me to come. I'm flesh. I'm human just like you. But the God, the Lord of heaven, paid her a visit. And He filled the barrel when she needed it to be. I think, and this is my theology, I don't think the barrel got filled. I don't think there'd have been much faith operating in a full barrel. And it, you say, preacher, that's kind of dark and kind of bleak sounding. Well, maybe to one who's never experienced a visit from God. But if I've got it right, I'd rather have a barrel with just enough, because that meant that every mealtime God paid a visit and put meal in the barrel and all in the cruise. Which would you rather have? Would you rather have one visit from God and Him never come again, and you could be content in that? Or would you rather have Him visit every time that you thought it was over? She and he and her house did eat many days. I don't know how many days it was. I don't know how long the after a while was that the brook dried up, but I know that the drought was 3 years and 6 months. And so for some space inside that 3 years and 6 months, God paid them a visit every day. While the world, and I'm going to tell you something, if this don't encourage your heart, there's something wrong. While the world's running and reeling around that widow woman's house, she don't have no big name. Probably got a little shack by the side of the road. She sold everything she has to try to feed her and her boy. And while everybody else is running to and fro, wondering how they're going to get the next meal, while the king of Israel is trying to find water and grass to save the horses, there's a little widow woman and her little boy in a shack by the road, and the God of heaven is visiting her every every day. Here we are. And I'm not, I hope you don't ever take me wrong. I'm not at all begrudging what we have. But compared to some buildings, I mean, this is just a little shack by the side of the road. And I don't mean that bad. Thank God for it. But ain't it amazing that these buildings that have thousands and they're wondering what to do in the midst of the coronavirus. And here we are by the side of the road and God's visiting us. To get us off the bottom. I'm done tonight. Some have come. More need to. I was standing all over the house. If you're at the bottom, or for whatever reason, if the storms of life have beset themselves against you, if the situations of life have so stacked against you that you found yourself at the bottom, won't you cry out? He won't leave you there. He'll intervene. He can speak to you. Oh, He can visit you. And He can give you victory, even at the bottom. Would you come tonight before we pray? Anyone, anywhere, some have. Others need to, but that's between you and God. You come get what you need. Talk to Him. You may be at the bottom by no fault of your own. And He's come by this way tonight to tell you that He's got it handled.
Yeah,
and He'll help you. Just cry out to Him. Yeah. Just call out to Him. He can take care of it all at your bottom. Father in heaven, I thank You, Lord, tonight for this privilege, this opportunity to bow my head.